Well, it's certainly great to see everyone today, and things cooling down a little bit, which kind of helps take away some of that heat. If you're following along this morning, we're going to be in Haggai, chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. People have trouble getting satisfaction today. They're just not satisfied with anything. You know, Pilate always looked down intently on a certain valley in the Appalachians. "What's so interesting about that spot?" asked his co-pilot next to him. He says, "See that stream? Well, when I was a kid, I used to sit down there and, you know, on a log and fish. Every time I see an airplane flying over, I would look up and wish I were flying. Now I look down and wish I was fishing." You know, that's pretty much the way it is with people nowadays. Sometimes, even though we do get most of what we want, we still can't get any satisfaction, as they say. Everybody wants more. A little child wants more toys and more TV time and more candy. A teenager wants more clothes, more freedom, more popularity. Most adults want to more house, more car, more whatever they can get a hold of. So, and often we do get more. We get a new car and we're content for a while till the payments start to come due. We buy a new house, and it's the home of our dreams, and we are content for a while with it. The job we always wanted comes knocking at our door, and for a while, it's contentment with that. One of God's prophets wrote the following words to God's people about 25 years ago. They were in the wilderness, and they were looking to find their place. In Haggai chapter 1, first few two verses, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet. It is time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes." So we can see, back then, it was kind of the same situation. Now, that's a graphic example of a dissatisfied life. No matter how much they ate, drank, put on, or earned, it was never enough for them. They were never content. What they expected something to give them, what they needed, they always came up short. They always chased after that carrot on a stick that we hang in front of the donkey on the cart. But we never catch it, because having it is not what's going to make us happy. And that I think that for the most part, the world is filled with discontented people nowadays. I think that's why we have so many social ills in the country and around the world. A lot of churches are filled with discontented people. They're not really happy with what they have. They're still hungry. They're still thirsty. And they still can't get any kind of satisfaction for themselves. Though they try and try, it just doesn't happen. So the question that we ask ourselves this morning is, how satisfied are we with the life that we have now? And secondly, why we can't be satisfied, and how do we get it? So why can't we have any satisfaction? Have you ever been real thirsty? Not just a little thirsty. I mean, tongue dragging the mouth, you know, everything stuck in there, and you're just dying of thirst. I'm sure we've all had that. What activity do you do that creates that greatest thirst? Hey, working out in the garden or something out like that on a real hot day, and we're real parched. What do you get whenever you grab? What do you grab to quench that thirst? The water, Gatorade, or some other soft drink or something like that. All of mankind is thirsty. And I'm not talking about physical thirst. I'm talking about spiritual thirst. a strong, consuming, and deep desire in our souls. God tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11 that He has set eternity into the hearts of men. Listen, God has placed within the heart of every human being a deep desire, a powerful thirst that screams to be satisfied, a thirst for relationship, meaning, purpose, love, acceptance, significance, peace, and contentment. God's placed that within us to seek eternity and to seek Him, the only source of eternity. So, do we thirst for a relationship that will truly satisfy us in life? Do we thirst for meaning, for love, for peace, contentment, and purpose in our lives? Those are the things we should be looking to improve, not the material things that so many people think makes up their lives. We place so much meaning on that. If someone's got the biggest house, the biggest cars, we place some sort of de facto importance on that person there. But here's where the problem comes. Far too many people go the wrong way to quench their thirst, and they go to the wrong source to find satisfaction. So, what we want to do is have a picture of this cup, and it represents our life. And being normal, you want your cup to be full. You want your thirst to be satisfied. Now, it's not wrong to want our cups to be full. It's natural. God wants us to have a full cup. He wants our lives to have meaning and to have peace in our lives. He wants our lives to be fulfilling and to be fulfilled. God wants our thirst to be satisfied. But what is wrong, what is sinful, is for us to look for life, is to try to fill our cup, not with those kind of things, not with what the world tries to fill it up with. We need to find the real meaning and satisfaction in things other than those things. And unfortunately, God's people has been doing this for thousands of years. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, the prophet Jeremiah wrote in 2:13, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." So, what was sin number one that they committed? Forsaking God, the living water. And their second sin was digging cisterns to find water. And, you know, broken cisterns that wouldn't hold water. They were broken, cracked. So therefore, they became empty again. And doesn't that sound like the person? They get this brand new whatever, and they're happy for a week or two, and then it just wears off. So, happiness is not in things, the possessions. So, it's pretty crazy to keep, you know, getting on that treadmill and just churning it out, thinking we're going to get finally to some happiness and contentment in material ways. God in Isaiah, and one of the verses that was, had looked at, says much the same thing. Why spend money on what is not bread, and why spend your labor on what does not satisfy? So, if we're not satisfying our thirst and our hunger, what are we satisfying? Our eyes. The reason why so many people, and even some Christians, are thirsty and unfulfilled in their lives, they can't be satisfied because they're doing exactly that, looking for life in all the wrong places. Now, there are basically four broken cisterns, if we use the example from Jeremiah, four things that people look to quench their thirst. And like a mirage in a desert, these sources shimmer and shine and promise great fulfillment, but in the end, all they offer us is just dry dust for our souls. So, our first broken cistern is relationships. Many people think that if they could just find the right relationship, their life would be satisfying and fulfilling. Do you know anybody like that? If they could just find the right guy, the right girl, the right companion, then their life is going to be fantastic. So they search and search for that person, and when they think they've found, you know, him or her, they get together. And it looks like at first they've got the answer. Their cups will finally be full. But before too long, they discover that their partner is not only good at filling their cup, but that they are also quite proficient at punching holes in them and draining them. You know, relationships are never perfect in any kind of stretch of the imagination, no matter who they are. But we have to have relationships that we're just not trying to take and take and take. In other words, if they fill us, our lives, they're not filling their lives. So the husband and wife, they think the answer maybe is children. And many people think if I only have a child, then that emptiness would be filled in my life. But that doesn't really work either. Because children, even though they do add so much to our lives, they're also very good at drilling holes in our cisterns and draining our cup. And they can really disappoint us and frustrate us at times. So children, while they're a blessing, that's not exactly what's going to fulfill our lives. And you've probably found relationship with friends don't always work either. Though friends can be a tremendous source of encouragement, they too will disappoint us from time to time over the long haul. So they punch holes in our imaginary cup too and drain us. So the simple reality is that we ultimately find that our frustration in any relationship, we find complete fulfillment. And we're just not. Because if we're just looking to fill ourselves, then we're not meeting the needs of the other people. Relationships are a two-way street. We can't go around and just say, fill me, fill me. What about that other person? That's important too. Sometimes in a relationship, people are kind of like two giant sponges, each wanting to soak up life from the other. And one or both usually end up pretty dry. It's the giving that's important. And that's what people miss out on. When we give, we satisfy a deep need in our soul and especially Christians, to be godlike. And that's fulfilling. So, relationships can be great if they're right relationships, healthy relationships. They're to be desired and appreciated. But a relationship, a person, no matter how great, will not give you what you're looking for, true and lasting satisfaction, then that's not going to fulfill things. The second thing besides relationship, that the next cistern, is kind of things, those possessions. Well, if relationships can't fill our cup, then maybe things can. If I just had more things, more money, a bigger house, a nicer car, a big diamond ring, designer clothes, if I had those things, I know my cup would be overflowing and my thirst would be quenched. Well, most times, again, that mirage just simmers in the distance, and when people arrive there, all those possessions are just as dry as dusty as that mirage is. And before too long, we're taking the curtains down, putting up the for sale sign, trading in the car, looking for something different to downsize and stuff. Things, if you're not happy, things are not going to make you happy. For a moment, maybe, for a little while, but they're not going to permanently fill that void in our lives. They're not going to fill that cup up. Some people look to accomplishment. We all know the people that work 7 days a week, that don't come home till late when it's time for bed and get up before the sun and get to the business and take care of things. They think they'll quench their thirst in success. Some people say, if I could just make the first string on the football team, win the beauty pageant, be the valedictorian of the class, win that award, get that plaque, score that touchdown, hit that home run, get that parking space with my name on it, hold a key to the executive washroom if we're in that line of work, build a business from scratch. So if I could hear the applause, then my cup would be full, my thirst would be satisfied, my life would be great. And again, we've seen so many, especially in the entertainment industry, that did not fill their lives. That at some point, the applause stops. And when a business goes belly up, and when the plaques get dusty, their cup is still not full. Their mouth is still left dry and parched, and their soul's thirst still screams out to be satisfied. Some people look to pleasure and good times. Well, if relationships, things, and accomplishments don't make me happy, then maybe I'll just be, like they say, hedonistic, and I'll enjoy the pleasures of life, fun, entertainment, vacations, the movie, and this and that, and they keep searching for something that will entertain them and keep them happy. But at the end of all those things, they're still the same person. They haven't changed. Those things just drain that cup more. Howard Hughes died alone and afraid of most everything, despite being one of the wealthiest people and successful people. He sought the wrong satisfaction in his life, and he died alone. He was rich, he didn't die penniless, but he died alone and unhappy. So, how can we get some satisfaction? What was one of the most contented men of all time? Well, Paul is one that comes to mind. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, Philippians 3, starting in verse 11, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned the secret of being content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be at need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. And that's the key, and that's the answer. You know, Jesus was in His ministry, and there was this woman. She was thirsty, and it was hot. And as she carried her empty bucket up the dusty streets of Samaria, her bucket was not the only thing that needed filling. Her soul was parched, and her hopes were dry after years of coming up empty in her quest to fill that void. She had been married 5 times. She was now living with a man who was not her husband, and she had no friends. She came to Jacob's well alone at the heat of the day, so no one would see her, so no one would stare. Though the woman from Samaria was struggling with her physical bucket that bright and sunny day, she was struggling even more to find meaning in her life, hoping to have her thirst quenched. And she had no idea that before that day was over, that she and her thirst would meet the ultimate thirst quencher. She met Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus was always drawn to people who were hurting. And while he was talking with her, he said something that seemed almost too good to be true. In John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water, you know, the water from the well, will be thirst again. But whoever drinks the waters I give will never thirst again. If you understand just what you have in Jesus, what we have in God, this relationship that we have, you'll never go seeking anything else in your life again. In Isaiah 55, God said, "Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you will have, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare." Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. God's words to thirsty people to come. Come to me, not a relationship, not a job, not a paycheck, not money, not a business, not a good time or anything like that, but come to God, is what Isaiah was saying. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he holds out his arms to us and says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Don't we all feel a little weary and heavy laden sometimes when we see all the awful things around this world and all the bad things that happen in this world? We need to find that place of rest. And there's no other place to find that but in Jesus Christ. He'll comfort us. We will thirst no more for what the world has to offer. But we will be filled with what He gives us. I don't know what your condition is this morning. Maybe you need to take those first steps and have that relationship and be filled with Christ. Or maybe you need to come back with Him because you learn that the world doesn't hold everything for you as you thought. Whatever your needs may be, won't you come as we stand and sing a song of invitation?